Brian Colangelo joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And obviously, Brian, this is not good news for Canadian basketball fans, NBA fans, and of course, Steve Nash fans. It's unfortunate that if this is the end for one Mr. Steve Nash, that it's not, on his own terms.
You know, it's it is sad in a way, you know, for a player to go out like this. You know, he obviously has been forecasting this for some time, put a little bit of a documentary series out on the web last year. And I don't think this is unexpected necessarily, but it's certainly not pleasing to the ear to hear it end this way for him. You know, he's a special player. He's a special human being. He's done a lot of great things for the game. He's done a lot of great things for this country, obviously. And, it's just sad to see someone like this go out of the game with an injury and not in an official retirement capacity like most do. But, you know, Steve is, he's tough. He's very smart. I think he's well respected in the game, and he's going to go on to, I'm sure, bigger and better things. And we wish the best for him.
Brian, you mentioned what he meant to Canadian basketball in your time here in Canada. Now we're seeing sort of the fruits of that that labor with guys like Vince Carter and Steve Nash moving forward. What do you think, obviously the greatest player Canada ever produced, what do you think the long-term, especially being involved with Canada basketball, what is he going to mean long-term for all these young players coming up in Canada basketball?
Well, he's obviously meant a lot, you know, not just to be that kind of symbol for people to strive for, you know, that player that they could aim to be. But he's also dedicated himself in many ways, charitable and otherwise, with Steve Nash Youth Basketball and the participation with Canada Basketball in that program. That was a seeds type of program that really initiated, I think, a lot of the development and infrastructure of the basketball that you're now seeing. There's so much happening with Canadian basketball, and I think the game has grown, you know, not just because of Steve, but also because of this organization here locally with Toronto, the Raptors, and also the Vancouver Grizzlies when they came in. It's been a long and arduous journey for this game to grow to the extent that it has, but you know, people like Steve and organizations like the Raptors and the Grizzlies when they were in Canada have really meant a lot to the program and to the overall development of the game here. But Steve now participating as the general manager in the face of Canada basketball, I think is great. He's trying to establish a loyalty and, an affinity for the basketball program where the best players participate and dedicate their summers and their time off to the game. But it really still, has a ways to go, but it's taken such great strides. And it's not just with the men's game, it's with the women's game as well. And you're seeing that play out before your eyes with their recent success over the last several years. But Steve is special. You know, Steve's iconic, and because of that iconic stature and because he's a good person and a good player and someone that you want your kids to try to emulate, I think it's going to last. His legacy will last a long time.
Brian, he has said that, that he thought this year would be his last, and perhaps he was saying that with the anticipation that he was going to play a little this NBA season at the very least, and has said that he doesn't want to play outside of LA, that if he doesn't have that opportunity this year, that he would walk away. Do you feel that this is the end of Steve Nash's NBA career? Have you spoken to him about that at all?
You know, I haven't spoken to him today since this announcement or revelation. When I did speak to him recently, it was not, it just didn't sound real positive. I think the reports coming out of camp were that he looked good and he was working out hard and it didn't require a lot of time off away from the practice rigors. But having witnessed it personally, even back to Phoenix when I got him the second time, signing him as a free agent away from Dallas, obviously we drafted him back in '96, traded him away, got him back in free agency. But he was struggling with this back issue even then. And, you know, that's when he started laying on the floor when he was off the court rather than sitting on the bench. But to see him go through these workouts with someone by the name of Rick Celebrini and Mike Clark and Aaron Nelson, the trainer there in Phoenix, it was incredible, not just the way he would go through his basketball workouts, but to go through the physical regimen that he would to try to isolate the muscles that were affecting, you know, the area where he could strengthen those muscles and try to overcome some of the issues that he had. But when he had this most recent injury in LA, shortly after he signed with them, it really did set off a chain reaction of other situations. And, it was almost like a runaway freight train. And having spoken to some people that know him well, there was even some thought by me and others when he, after he got hurt, that maybe we should try to trade for him and let him finish his career here in Toronto. Obviously that wasn't going to play out, for a lot of different reasons, but one of them was primarily because we didn't think he was going to make it. You know, we didn't think he was going to be able to play out the contract. And, you know, he knew it was coming. You know, in retrospect, had he known that this was going to end this quickly, the Lakers did have an option to cut him at one point or waive him and be able to spread his salary payments across 3 years. That didn't happen. I think that was obviously a mutual decision between he and the team. And this is the way it's going to end. And you know, they may get a salary exception in the form of an injury exception this year. Disabled player exception, but they're really not going to get a whole lot of relief. And I'm not sure they want that relief right now because they are in the start of what is a rebuilding mode. Even though Kobe might not admit it, that's the reality of where that team is right now.
Brian, you talk about getting so close to signing Steve Nash. We all know he said publicly that, yeah, he chased the money. Was that a major factor in the fact that he went back to Los Angeles, that kind of he wouldn't take that quote-unquote hometown discount here in Toronto?
Well, it's interesting. I'm in a different situation now, so I can probably comment on the money. You know, there were reports that we offered 36, and he ended up, I think, accepting 27. You know, to clarify all of that, we never offered 36, and I never even got to the number 33, which was probably the number that we felt was more appropriate. He went to a situation, I think, that was money-driven, but it was also more family driven. He personally called me, talked to me about the situation and said he just wanted to be closer to his children, closer to Phoenix where his children were living at the time. Now he's actually got them living in Los Angeles. I do think that in retrospect, there was probably a lot even more to that even. You know, a lot of his business interests are things related to the film industry, and being in LA and Hollywood obviously helps. It could have been useful here in Canada, too, in Toronto with the film business or industry that we have here. But let's face it, New York, L.A., you know, those are the two markets that fit Steve Nash, and that's where he's got two houses right now. So it probably makes more sense for him in the long run to have made that decision. Did we dodge a bullet? No one really will know that because he got injured in a freak situation in the game, I believe, against Portland early in that season. And had he been playing for the Raptors, who knows? Maybe he doesn't have that injury to the leg, which doesn't set off that chain reaction. So I don't like to second-guess things, and I don't like to look back. I know that he made a decision to go to L.A., and I think it was a good one for him personally, and you can't fault him for that.
Well, if a Raptors fan is always going to want to look back, and I think – you know, Canadians, Raptor fans are always going to look back and say, man, there was a moment that Steve Nash could have been a Raptor. Like, could they ever say that? Could a Raptor fan ever look back and say, if not for this decision made by, you know, yourself or maybe Steve himself, would there ever be a moment where a Raptor fan could pinpoint and say Steve Nash could have been a Raptor?
Well, that was certainly the moment. You know, when we were pursuing him in free agency, when he called me, very shortly after he called me and told me his decision, you know, I felt a little funny waiting in New York City for a couple of days. And finally, I flew back to Toronto saying, enough's enough. I've got to move on. But when he called me and made it official, that is when the dialogue obviously heated up very quickly with Houston, and we made a deal to acquire Kyle Lowry for that first-round pick that turned out to be a pick that got traded from Houston to Oklahoma City. And that worked out, obviously, for the team. That's worked out favorably for Kyle. It's worked out favorably for the Raptors. I'm glad to see that happening. But you can always look back and say, what if? I don't operate that way. You know, I know that what happened. He made a decision. But if there was ever a moment that he could have been a Raptor, that was the moment, and he decided to go a different direction.
Brian, how is Steve Nash regarded down south as one of the greatest point guards of all time? We all know what he means to this country, but yourself being an American and obviously, you know, growing up in the States, how is Steve Nash viewed as one of the all-time greats?
Well, you know, I've had some pretty good point guards play for me over the years. You know, Kevin Johnson, Jason Kidd, you know, Steve, obviously, Sam Cassell, you know, the list goes on. You might even say Marbury had certain attributes that made him a successful point guard at times. And now Kyle Lowry and even TJ Ford had great success for us here in Toronto that those first couple of years. But Steve is special in that he was a superstar player. He was one of the premier players in the game, a two-time MVP, and he never acted like he was that person. He didn't act like your normal superstar that needed anything special. He and, you know, maybe the likes of a Tim Duncan are the kind of player that you just look at and you say, wow, if I could figure out a way to recreate that player and reproduce that player and find a way to get that player on my team. They're quiet leaders. They play hard. They play hurt. They play through things. They do everything you need them to do. They're committed to the game. They're committed to themselves personally. They're committed to the organization. I think Steve has that type of respect. You know, people feel that way about him throughout the league. Everybody that he's come across, he's just such a natural person that doesn't really relate, you know, to the normal athlete, the normal professional athlete. He's unique and he's special, and people like that about him. And the fact that he plays at the highest level obviously gives him a certain platform to display those characteristics.
With Brian Colangelo on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That's George. I'm Jeff. We know the reasons why, and you've highlighted them beautifully, Brian, and thank you for that, and why he wanted to go to L.A. and play with the Lakers. And obviously injuries got in the way of his time with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Looking at his experience with the Lakers, as far as you know it to be, would it be a happy one as far as his association with the Lakers organization, his relationship with Kobe Bryant? I mean, was this one that obviously injuries got in the way and the lack of success and injuries to Kobe himself, but would this be a time that Nash would look back on fondly with the LA Lakers?
I can't imagine so. Number one, just because of the personal frustration of not being able to play, you know, that had to bother him. Obviously Kobe has had his own issues and struggled through some things. You know, Steve was also there to witness, you know, the demise of the team under the guidance of Mike D'Antoni, who happens to be a very close friend of his and who he respects, you know, to the utmost. It was, I'm sure, ultimate frustration all the way around. And again, it wasn't anyone's fault. It's certainly not Mike's fault that a couple of his key guys got injured. It's certainly not Steve's fault that he got injured, and it's not Kobe's fault. But you know, you add all those things together and there's no way the franchise is going to succeed. And there's heavy expectations in that marketplace. And, you know, someone had to be blamed, and the easiest target in the case happened to be Mike D'Antoni. You know, and Steve had no control of that. He couldn't help Mike. You know, he did probably say a few things to protect him, but there's not much he could do. But to say that this was a good basketball experience or personal experience, I can't imagine so, other than the fact that he was close to his kids. That's probably the most gratifying aspect of it, you know, that I can imagine.
Brian, before we let you go, obviously the success of the Toronto Raptors this past season, winning the Atlantic Division, and your friend Brian Burke had a quote that it was something along the lines of, you know, I cooked the meal, but somebody else is having the dinner now. And I understand that you're cheering for the Raptors, but is there any part of you that looks at this Raptors team and you see it now and you're like, yeah, you know what, to be honest with you, I'm a big part of that success. Did you get a warm feeling seeing the Raptors win that division and make that run against the Nets?
Well, you're not going to get a quote out of me that stands out like Brian's quote. You know, with all due respect, I'm, you know, I've always been wired a little differently. You know, I'm living here in Toronto. I'm enjoying watching the team play. I'm enjoying watching the success. I'm enjoying watching, you know, some of the players that were ridiculed and that I was criticized for, whether drafting or signing or what have you. I'm glad that they're doing well, because for me, it wasn't about defending myself. It was about defending them all the time, and I probably got criticized for that. But, you know, I felt badly for the young men that were involved. And, you know, I've been asked recently, given it's the 20th anniversary, you know, some of my things. Yeah, I'm proud of what I see. I'm very proud of what Masai's been able to do with this team and putting the finishing touches on some of the things that's there. That's my guy. And, you know, it was my suggestion to Tim to hire him in the first place. So, you know, I feel good about the way I left things, you know, again, despite the fact that it wasn't really clear at the time, it's becoming much more clear now. And yeah, that makes me feel good. But I'm most happy for the individuals involved. And I'm also very pleased for the fans, because the fans deserve a winning team here.